Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. If you have seen the report from the Kaiser Family Foundation, you know what we're talking about today. I mentioned it on the program yesterday, wrote about it in a major article published this morning, and it's at my website at albertmohler.com. The title of my article, Like the Air They Breathe, The Online Life of Kids. Folks, the Kaiser Family Foundation has now produced a third study on the media-saturated lives of American children and teenagers, the teens and tweens in particular. And the reality is that the statistics are so mind-boggling, I can't imagine a parent who should not be concerned about this. Now, just let me mention a couple of numbers here. The average child aged 8 to 18 in America today is listening to, watching, absorbed in media for a very clear 7.5 hours a day. 7.5 hours a day. You add that to school, what you hope is some sleeping time, and that means when they're not in school and they're not asleep, they are online, one way or another. And the numbers are simply staggering beyond that because they're multitasking, so they're actually cramming about 11 hours of media into 7.5 hours of time. They've got multiple things going at multiple times. They've got things going in the ears, things going in the eyes. They've got multiple noise, multiple narrations going on all around them, multiple images going into their minds. It is literally rewiring their minds. And what we're looking at here is the fact that many parents are simply, if anything, spectators in the digital lives of their children. One of the things that comes out here, two key insights from this particular report. Number one, a lot of these kids have everything at their access 24/7. You're talking about the majority of these children having their own cell phone, an incredible number of them, well over a third, having their own laptop computer. You're talking about over 7 out of 10, 70% of them having a television in the bedroom, 50% of them having cable access in the bedroom. So the average teenager's bedroom right now has television, cable or satellite. It has DVD. It has the game set with the controller. It's got iPod and cell phone and all the rest, and they're virtually all digitally connected, many of them with broadband, all the time. And they are going to sleep with their cell phones. According to this particular report, these cell phones are now, by the way, not used much for talking as the cell phone was originally designed. They're now mostly for the transmission of digital data, the consumption of digital entertainment. They are texting, yes. They are on the phone about half an hour a day. But they are watching, playing, interacting constantly by means of these digital devices. The fact is that these children are also telling us, and teenagers, by their own report, that the more they use, the less happy they are. When they measure their own contentedness, those who are the heaviest users of digital and electronic technologies report that they're also the least content. Another fascinating thing from this is that parents are basically asleep at the switch, no pun intended. They are literally, most parents, disconnected from all of this. Some of them are almost as connected as their kids. However, given the generational shift that's going on here, it's hard in this case for the parents to be anywhere near catching up with the kids. And if you actually have a job and have to take care of affairs around the house, you don't have the time to be as absorbed, but you're probably not aware of the ambient digital technology going on around you all the time. A majority, this is heartbreaking to me, a majority of American homes have the television on all the time, if for nothing else than background noise. I'll tell you, if I'm ever asked just as a non-specialist as to why I think there is so much ADHD and the rise of all these learning and attention disorder diseases, I'm going to tell you, I think the television as noise, if it doesn't drive you insane, just as noise, it's certainly going to drive you to distraction. I just can't imagine having it on as background noise, but it may be that a majority of American homes actually have it on all the time, such that there's digital noise and digital image all the time filling the space of the house. And that's before you get to the kids' bedrooms. These parents, by the way, the majority of them are setting very few rules, if any at all. If they do have rules, they tend to be about the kind of content that can be watched or accessed, not about the amount of time given to it. And let me just state the obvious. If you are equipping your child's bedroom with all this material, you're expecting it to be used. And so just at the family level, as Christians think this through, and you think about the glory of God and the rightful ordering of the family, what does it mean for every member of the family to be tethered in his or her own wiring with his own and her own earbuds or earphones, watching who knows what in separate lives, in separate rooms, all sharing very little more than the same broadband access? I think that's just tragic. One of the take-homes that comes out of this particular report is that parents had better start setting some rules. Otherwise, they're going to find that their kids are not only connected when they're awake, they're going to be awake all the time. Because what's giving way here, and that becomes very clear in this report, is sleep. And it's giving way in more than one way. When the second report from the Kaiser Family Foundation on the same subject came out 5 years ago, kids were spending about 6.5 hours with digital media a day. And the researchers said, we didn't think it could go higher. We thought that was a natural ceiling. Well, guess what? They found way for another hour on average per day in the last 5 years. And the people in the age group that is the highest level of consumption here are the children aged 11 to 14, the tweens. And that tells you, you do it 5 years from now, and you're going to find that the hours have grown from 6.5 to 7.5 to who knows what. Well, they're still dealing with the same 24 hours a day, which means that what they're not doing is they're not sleeping, which ties to a lot of other issues as well. What about family interaction? What is happening to the souls of these children? Now, let me tell you what I'm not suggesting. I am not suggesting that we can simply roll back the digital revolution. I'm not saying that kids should not have access to frankly, any of these technologies under parental supervision with boundaries set by parents. And with parents not only setting the boundaries with content, but saying, look, you need time to read. You need time for silence. You need disconnected time. You know, just to state some things very obviously, parents, don't let your kids go to bed with a cell phone. Just don't. If you find they're using it in that way, just don't allow it to happen. Don't allow the television in the bedroom. Don't allow the computer access that is unmonitored in the bedroom. That's just not healthy. And of course, the first thing a lot of Christian parents are going to is, well, I'm concerned about content, but I've got the right filters on and all the rest. Folks, that's not enough when time is the other big element here. And unless you've got some kind of electric meter on those digital devices, hey, they're going all the time. The headline in the New York Times yesterday summarizing this report got it just right. If your kids are awake, they're probably online. Well, you get online to give me a call and tell me how you're thinking this through. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're not suggesting rolling back the digital revolution. I have that would be rather hypocritical given the fact that I've sent out news on this in response to this on Facebook and Twitter and wrote a major blog about it. You'll find, and you're not going to access that, by the way, on your old dial-up telephone. You're going to get that by going to the Internet. And I didn't write this article in the old print media. It didn't show up on your doorstep in printed form this morning. It's coming by digital transmission. I'm not trying to undo that revolution. I'm actually thankful for it. But just like the invention of the car, the invention of the airplane, the invention of the radio or the telephone brought both good and bad. It brought both the good and bad effects, good and bad long-term patterns. Just as it brought happiness into many lives, it brought unhappiness into others. As parents, our job is to go for health and happiness, and beyond health and happiness, to holiness. And that's going to require a whole new level of digital attentiveness. And as I ended my article published this morning, it means that parents, one of your jobs is to know when you have to force a disconnect. That's a panicky thought to a lot of people, but being disconnected is not the same as death. Although for those who are raised in a digital generation, it's hard for them to tell the difference. Let's bring a little sanity to this, folks. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. As parents, as those who care for young people, what in the world does this tell you about the lives of our children and about our responsibility, youth pastors, anyone involved in communication and all the rest? You better be paying attention to this. This is credible research, folks. This is a massively important, very substantial story. And we're going to be talking about it today on the Albert Mueller Program. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I got so revved up talking about this, we never even got to other issues this morning, this afternoon. But I'm telling you, it's really important that we get to this, because I can't think of a more urgent body of research that I've seen addressed to Americans in a very long time. A lot of the research we read tells us something that's remote or confirms what we already know. In this case, I think the raw statistics tell us the truth is beyond what we even imagined. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. The courage to disconnect, that's what I'm thinking is the kind of courage that parents need to find. Not that they permanently disconnect their children from the digital revolution. That's not really a responsible reaction to this. A principled total disconnect here is just probably not even feasible. But setting the right boundaries, the right expectations, preserving time for quiet and the kind of disconnectedness on digital media that is required for any kind of serious thought, serious reading, serious contemplation, the kind of serious family time that is necessary in which you're actually talking to each other, looking at each other's faces, not relating to each other. I heard the other day that one particular family has decided that they will just basically relate to each other through Facebook. Now, I mean, if you're at disparate parts of the earth serving in different places to the glory of God, that might be something that's necessary. But we're talking about people who share a home. You know, the whole idea of these teenagers and children cocooned in their bedrooms with over 70% having their own television, 50% having satellite or digital cable, you just think they're living separate lives. And that is just deeply sad to me. I want to know what you're dealing with as parents, as those concerned with children and teenagers, as you think this through. The topic today is driven by this report released yesterday by the Kaiser Family Foundation. The statistics are staggering. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Orlando, Florida. Jackie, what are you thinking?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment. As I was listening to you, it's interesting and dear to my heart. I'm a nurse, but also a parent. And I found that I had to do that. They're not totally disconnected, but I had to remove the TV and the game systems from the room. And they're limited to... They have their homework time, they have reading time, and then on the weekends I make sure they have play time outside.
Outside?
Yes.
That's a radical thought, Jackie. I just tell you, the glory of God is all over kids playing outside. That's great.
And I just see, you know, because they have to be physically fit. I not only see it as a nurse, the effects that I have, the high obesity, high blood pressure, and diabetes in these kids, besides the social effects.
Jackie,
I did that 2 years ago, and I totally support your comments.
Jackie, you mentioned taking the game machine and the television out of the bedrooms. Do you have boys or girls or both?
I have two boys. I have an older daughter, but the boys are 10 and 12.
Yeah. Let me tell you, as you well know, and this report documents, boys actually have less investment in a lot of the digital media than girls do at the same age, but theirs tends to be heavily devoted towards gaming and game playing. And, I just think you've done exactly the right thing. And I want to thank you for that word. And God bless you as you and your family are trying to think this through prayerfully and rightfully. And it's good to hear from a mom who speaks as both a nurse and a mom to say, you know, I see it both ways. And I really appreciate your call. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Benjamin's listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Yes, Dr. Mueller, thank you for taking my call. I did just want to say that my family and I are having to totally disconnect our cable and internet, and it has brought about great family time and even just reading of the scriptures together as a family.
Yeah, Benjamin, I really appreciate that call, and I think what makes your point really interesting is that it sounds to me, as you say this, like you didn't at first just make a decision to disconnect. That decision was driven by other events in your life, but you can now see in retrospect that you were missing something as you were so connected.
Yeah, we went through some job loss on my end, and we've had to make a decision to disconnect. It wasn't necessarily a hard decision or something that we had to do, but the result of it has been just, you know, spending more time together reading and spending more time together where we might not have had before.
I really appreciate that call, Benjamin. God bless you. That's a great testimony. And, you know, I spent some time with my family, especially over the Christmas holidays, out of our normal sequence, out of our normal place, and frankly, out of our normal time zone. And I discovered that, given my responsibilities, I can't be totally disconnected, but I discovered that I really could be more disconnected than I thought I could be, and frankly, enjoy it. And one of the things we have to get over is the guilt of feeling like we have to know what everyone's saying to us or would say to us at every moment of the waking or sleeping day. We got to let that go. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Peoria, Illinois. Mary's listening in WPEO. Go ahead, Mary.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay, ready?
I'm ready. You go right ahead.
Okay.
Mary? Hey, we're waiting on you. Go right ahead.
Okay, yeah, my name's Mary, and I've been a teacher, certified in basically the homeschool my kids for a while, but we did put the TV in the cabinet, and then as the rewards were, once the chores and everything done, then we got the TV back out, so it was more like a family event, and I just want to say that there's resource centers out there that have Christian videos and DVDs that you can get, and that's what we did, too. She finished algebra at second grade, memorized the book of Hebrews with a Christian program, and I was glad that we didn't even have the TV till the weekend, you know, basically.
You know, Mary, I really appreciate that word, and what it underlines is the fact that you took charge. That's what parents are supposed to do. If you just kind of look up a biblical definition of a parent's responsibility, taking charge, exercising authority, acting as a parent. I mean, it all basically comes down to the fact that you're not there to observe the lives of your children. You are there to regulate them. And that sounds heavy-handed to some people, but that's the problem. The problem that sounds surprising to people is a symptom of how we've kind of absorbed the insanity all around us when it comes to confusing the roles of parents and children. And, you know, my own, entertainment life has changed so much. I was born in 1959, and our family just had one television for so many years, and it was a television you had to wait on. I mean, that literally, you turned it on, it had to warm up. You smelled the television long before you got to see it or hear it. And by the way, if you were watching it when you weren't supposed to, if you turned it off, it didn't go off right away either, which means payday someday when they found out. And it was hot. So, I mean, you walked in the house, you knew whether the television had been on or not. I can remember when the color television came. I can remember when the cable television came. And, you know, I tell my own children, there once was a time when if you missed the program, you missed it. And you didn't miss it for now. You missed it forever. Now we're living in a time where, you know, it was revealed. I think I mentioned this as an anecdote earlier this week. It came out that many of the writers for Conan O'Brien on The Tonight Show, they're writing for a television show, remember, don't have televisions. You don't have to have a television anymore. If you've got a cell phone, you've got television with you. If you miss the program, you pull it up later. As a matter of fact, the migration to digital media and to mobile devices is huge. That's documented in this report from the Kaiser Family Foundation. We are putting in the hands of our children more computing power, more digital connectedness, more entertainment than any previous generation had in their entire lives. They have available to them in a 24-hour period if they just want to pull it down. A lot of it, by the way, free once you have the connectivity. Oh, and by the way, I had, as well as I think I have observed America, I had vastly underestimated the amount of connectivity out there. The fact is that there is still a class and economic divide when it comes to broadband connection and all the rest, but far less than you may think. The vast majority of American children have no problem with access to media, trust me. Their problem is in gaining control of their lives to put digital media in its proper place, in their proper place, the different media available to them. The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. If you don't want to call me, go ahead. Use the digital media. Facebook me. Tweet me. Send me a text message. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We are discussing this fascinating report from the Kaiser Family Foundation on the digital lives of our children. You know, the shortcut to the bottom line is this. They're on some kind of media activity or media platform virtually all the time they are awake if they're not in school. And by the way, as an educator, I can tell you, I'm not sure when they are in school that they're not also, in many cases, digitally connected. Let me tell you something very, very sad I heard. This is one of those kind of parabolic things you'll hear and you'll recognize, wow, this tells us where we are. Someone from the cell phone industry was telling me that a lot of parents come in with their kids and say that what they're really looking for is some kind of a system where they can set when the cell phone will no longer send and receive texts and all the rest. They want rules that can be built into the contract, you know, with the carrier, where the carrier supposedly has a technology or an application that will suddenly kind of parent these children. You know, as this fellow was telling me from the industry, look, this is what parents are supposed to do. You can't just franchise yourself out as an app on the cell phone. You're going to actually have to get into the lives of your children and say, here are the rules. And by the way, with cell phones, I have, if you've been listening to this program, you know, I'm like a broken record on this. How's that for a dated old media metaphor? You need to keep the cell phones and have them charging somewhere like in the kitchen, not instantly all the time, 24/7 attached to your kids. And that's something you're going to have to make happen, because otherwise it will not happen, because their peer environment suggests to them that they're either dead or connected. That's it. And you're the people that have to come back and say, nope, there is another option, and it's called being a part of this family and having some quiet time and not finding out who had a donut or a cheeseburger with whom in the last 15 minutes. Or watching, you know, X, Y, or Z on television and all the other stuff that comes. Let's be clear. I'm not suggesting that we can reverse the digital revolution. I'm not suggesting absolute, total, principled disconnection. Because it would be rather hypocritical of me, since a good many of you are listening right now to this program on the very kind of devices we're talking about, as well as those who are listening to broadcast radio. And by the way, the blending of old and new media is happening around us all the time. And that's just the way of the world, bringing good as well as challenge. Let's talk about how parents are dealing with this. The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Rhonda's on the line. Go ahead, Rhonda.
Yes, doctor. My concern is the kids sitting in the same room with each other, with their brothers, sisters, boyfriend, girlfriend, peers, and they aren't speaking. They're sitting there texting to each other. And my concern is they're losing their social skills.
You know, that is a very good point. And by the way, let me just accentuate that point. Let me just say that if by the way, you're talking about girls, young girls, they generally are communication machines. And they're not going to have any trouble in conversation, but they're going to be learning some patterns of conversation by texting that will not be good for conversation. So they may not be able to long-term conduct the kind of conversation that they should. But when it comes to boys, it's a different situation altogether. Boys, by and large, are not natural conversationalists. One of the tasks of a parent during the tween and teenage years is to force boys to learn how to talk, because their natural inclination is going to be to go inside, not outside, and it's going to be to communicate when they have to communicate in a series of grunts and rattles, and you're going to have to actually require them to use words. And this reversion to texting is not helpful. By the way, let me also tell you that as an educator, here's one of the things, the weird things showing up. You've got kids, I've experienced this in the classroom myself, who show up and they will answer questions on a quiz, on a test, or on a paper using the kind of shorthand lingo of text speak. That is insane. And I was not rolling on the floor laughing when I read this kind of material. This is sad stuff. The phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Rhonda's onto something when she says you've got family members sitting in the same room who aren't talking to each other. They are texting each other. You know, one of the boys, 14 or 15 years old, that is profiled as just absolutely normal in this particular article, I think the New York Times ran with this yesterday, mentions that in the midst of everything else he does, he sends or receives, listen to this number, 500 text messages a day. I think I would rather be tortured. That is just unbelievable to me, but it's becoming normative in the lives of America's children and teenagers. What do you say to that? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We'll be right back with more. Welcome back to the Albert Miller Program. It is a fascinating report, frankly scary. Looking at 7.5 hours of media saturation for these kids, the average 8 to 18-year-old in America, they're cramming 11 hours of different kinds of media content into 7.5 hours of time. Then they're going to school, and they're getting a little bit of sleep, and there's no time left in between. They're living digital lives. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Grand Island, Nebraska. Byron is listening on KMMJ. Go ahead, Byron.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've got five kids, and my first three kids were all allowed to have personal stereos at the insistence of my family because they pushed and pushed to let them have personal stereos. I gave in, which I wish I wouldn't have, but anyway, they and then my last two, there's about a five-year gap in between the last two kids and the first three. We don't allow them to have any personal radios. They get about an hour and a half a day media. That's pretty much all.
Now, Byron, let me ask you, this form of child abuse that you're practicing there in your household of limiting the media, do your children chafe under this?
Not really. They'd like more time. Neither one of them have cell phones. I won't allow my 14-year-old boy, but he didn't want one. His friends say, well, your parents don't buy a cell phone? He says, who would I call? He says, I talk to you guys every day or whatever. I don't have any point in calling anybody.
Yeah, you know anyway. What? I appreciate that, Byron. And a 14-year-old boy, well, let me just tell you, he may do all the talking he wants and more, and the last thing he wants is a cell phone he has to talk on. But I got to tell you what, it's just a great example of a parent taking charge. And I really appreciate the way you reflected the difference in your parenting, what you learn between, say, one set of children and the next. That's very helpful. Let's go to Pekin, Indiana, where Sarah's listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi. I just wanted to say that it's not just young boys. My husband is 35 years old. He recently had to change jobs. And at this job, they communicate by texting with each other. And it has spilled over into our family life. And it's very addictive. He would sit on the couch and sit and text instead of play with the kids. And it took a case of almost infidelity to get him to understand how dangerous it had become.
Wow. Now, that's an unexpected kind of word that is really important for people to hear, Sarah. And without unpacking everything that may have taken place there, it is interesting that what you have here is what's called the digital imperative. You said your husband switched jobs, and in this job they communicate this way. That's what's being communicated to a lot of people through both overt and covert messaging. You are obligated to be connected. You have to be connected 24/7. It's not just like an obstetrician who has a pager with a phone number so he can be reached when he has to go deliver a baby. It's now people who, frankly, do not have to do anything in the next hour that's going to change the world. But just in terms of relationships with clients, customers, and all the rest, it's expected. Let me tell you, this is one of the ways this has changed the academic equation. We have students arriving on the average college university campus who believe that they have every right to have 24/7 access to professors because they do to each other. And when a professor doesn't respond to a question, you know, in a specified amount of time, they feel betrayed. Meanwhile, the professor is off doing what we probably pay him to do. And that's not to be connected 24/7 to his students through social media. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Let's go to Paul calling from Tustin, Michigan. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, yeah, Yeah, it's a media war out there. I mean, I as a father, I can't compete with video games. It's just too tough. And you know, just with the all the time at school the kids spend there, and the influence with the peers there, and coming home, and I mean, where's the influence coming from? If I'm letting my kid watch TV all day, and he's being influenced at school by his peers, I mean, am I really being a parent? And, you know, I watch these kids, you know, in the summertime, and there's no kids on the streets. You know, they're inside playing video games, and, you know, it's just so hard to compete with. As a dad, it's just really tough.
Yeah, well, hang in there, Paul, and you're exactly right. Let me read to you one of the initial paragraphs from this report, and it's just going to affirm what you just said. And I'm reading this paragraph. As anyone who knows a teen or tween can attest, media are among the most powerful forces in young people's lives today. 8 to 18-year-olds spend more time with media than in any other activity besides maybe sleeping, an average of more than 7.5 hours a day, 7 days a week. The TV shows they watch, video games they play, songs they listen to, books they read, and websites they visit are an enormous part of their lives, offering a constant stream of messages about families, peers, relationships, gender roles, sex, violence, food, values, clothes, an abundance of other topics too long to list. And that is exactly right. That's what's going on here. What we are watching is a generation that is being fed a constant stream of messages about the things that are really important to us, and they are, by and large, not the messages we want them to be receiving. And, you know, Paul's point is, how do you counter that? You know, they have a flood coming at them, and here's a parent standing in the midst of the flood saying, here's what I want you to think and know and do and feel and believe. And, you know, if you're just standing there in the midst of the flood, don't be surprised when you're drowned out by other things. You've got to take control. Paul, very good insight. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Shepherdsville, Kentucky. Daniel's listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hi, Dr. Mueller. Thank you for taking my call.
What are you thinking?
I'm speaking as a youth minister who have youth who are constantly engaged in this digital media like you're talking about. And as I've thought about, you know, how to use it, you know, for the glory of Christ, and I certainly understand the problems that are inherent within it, and it's consuming a lot of their time. But I've seen things like Facebook and Twitter and those kind of things as being instruments where I can have more impact in their lives because they're regularly checking those things. So I can continually point them to Christ, counsel them in the things that they post, and have oftentimes been able to point them to Christ and remind them of the gospel and of their Christian walk through a media like we've talked about.
Daniel, it's a very good point, and again, we're not trying to reverse the digital revolution. One of the things that that you're talking about here that I have myself noted is that there are ways you can learn about each other and think through things by means of digital media and social media that are unprecedented. That's one of the reasons why I'm so deeply invested in it myself. I don't want to sound like I'm a Luddite saying, let's just pull all the cables, take out the batteries, and let all the machines die. That is not what I'm saying. Daniel, I wish I had more time to track out with you as a youth pastor the kinds of boundaries and rules you would suggest, given your experience and observation, that parents should put into place. Let me suggest to you, Daniel, one thing you might think about is one of the ways you can model for the young people you know and love and serve and teach is how to disconnect at a certain time. You know, between these hours, I don't tweet. I don't post on Facebook. I spend time with my wife, my kids, and I read the Bible, and I sleep. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Let's go to Kelly in New Albany, Indiana, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yes, Dr. Mueller. I have a 21-year-old daughter, and she's a great kid. Still lives at home, works, goes to school, but I cannot get through to her that society is feeding her a line to think that it's okay to stay up all night on cell phones and gaming, even with friends that are out of state. I mean, all night long. She doesn't understand what this is doing to her and her life.
You know, Kelly, I think you have it exactly right. I mean, precisely, right down to every syllable of what you said. I think she doesn't understand. And this reminds me of the old parable told by Aristotle about the fish. He said, if you want to know what it's like to be wet, don't ask a fish. because the fish has always been in the water and he doesn't have anything to compare it to. It's just what he thinks is normal. And that's where it is with this generation. They have been a part of this digital revolution virtually all of their lives. You rewind 21 years back and you'll discover that this generation has been a part of this great digital society for its entire experience. They don't know what it was like not to be connected and to have this experience. But Kelly, you're right. Being connected 24/7 by social media means you're being disconnected from things that are more important. And, one of the things I want to be clear, I just have to repeat this over and over again, lest I be misunderstood. I'm not saying get rid of all the digital devices. I'm not saying do a complete principal disconnect. I'm not saying don't be on Facebook or Twitter or the rest of these things. That would be hypocritical. I am saying all of us at every age and stage of life had better think through, as Christians, the stewardship of our time, our attention, the care and nurture of our souls. It's not just that we're spending time doing this and our kids are spending an incredible amount of hours involved in social media and the media in general. The question is, what are they not doing? What are we all not doing that we ought to be doing? And everything from the reading of books to prayer to going on a bicycle ride or a walk to spending time with each other to, frankly, sharing the gospel with someone across the hall in the dorm. That's just something that is giving away all of these good things. I mean, we're a society. I heard this, and it's one of those things that leads you to scratch your head. We are a society where, I was told the other day, people are going into appliance stores saying, I need a faster microwave. Things are getting nuts. And what we have are people who do not want to wait, do not want to be involved in a real conversation. They aren't reading. And when it comes to Christian concerns, there are a whole lot of other things they're not doing. Bottom line here, parents, take control. Remember, that's your job. You may be the only one on the planet who can and must exercise the courage to disconnect. We'll be back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.